Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves with myself and Kenzie Elizabeth.
Hi.
Kenzie's one of my besties.
Besties.
Yeah, like for the restie.
Yeah, it's been like 6 years now.
Yeah, Kenzie was my first real friend in LA. Mm-hmm. We always talk about this. But for those of you that don't know, she is an awesome content creator. My first actual friend in LA.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason I am here is because of Kenzie.
We bonded. We met. She came up. What did you come up to me for? I think it was to film.
No. We met at.
At church.
Yeah. But
you
like,
came up to me about something like creative. It was something like that.
Honestly,
and then I was like, oh.
I forget.
I think you wanted to film like YouTube videos or something like that. It was very like TK smart.
I don't know if I would have done that.
No, you would have.
Really?
Yeah, Taylor, that's a good thing. Of course you would have.
No, but I feel like it was way more personal in my head.
Oh, well, it was that too. And then we went to Maggiano's the next day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I'm like, I forget what I said.
Like, it was something like film wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Maybe. Maybe I was like, I can help you film or something.
Yeah. Well, you were like, also, we have common interest. And then I texted her and it was literally a Friday night. And I was like, any chance you don't have plans tonight? And then we went to dinner immediately.
Wow. Okay. Wait, what was your first impression of me? I just have to ask. They always ask this on Pretty Basic, and I think it's like a pretty like, it's narcissistic, but like also intuitive.
No, it's fine. Well, mine is mine's totally different because I knew you when you were just like a college student
Like, what was I like?
I don't know. I think, I kept saying that, you know what? Talk about like praying, manifesting, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I kept saying that whole week because I basically just needed new friends in LA.
Yeah.
And I remember being on the phone with my dad and I was like, no, I know I'm about to meet my new best friend. Like, I would say that as a joke.
Yeah.
And then you walked up to me. I don't know. I felt like, I don't really remember other than thinking like we would get along.
Yeah. I remember you being though so, like my first impression of you was, I think I thought you were going to be a lot more like not giving me the time of day, and you like completely gave me more than the time of day.
Yeah, I was like Saturday night plans immediately.
Yeah.
And then we both had passion planners.
Yeah, and I liked how you like it, because I put a lot of effort into relationships and like friendships, and I felt like you totally reciprocated
that.
Yeah,
I'd be the same.
Which was like so cool because I feel like that's pretty rare, you know, especially in LA. And I was like, this bitch is cooler than me. Like, she's not going to give me the time of day. And you did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought to not give you the time
of day. I know, but like,
in your head.
But like, I was a little nobody. And like, we were just, at the end of the day, we were just so like, we had so many common interests and we were so similar, like regardless of the career paths we were both in or wanted to be in, we just like are similar people.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Kenzie, how is it being a Dallas girly and now like coming back to LA all the time? Because I love this about you. Kenzie moved to Dallas and she always comes back to LA still.
I honestly think I'm in New York more now though.
Yeah, but people always say when they move, they're like, oh, I'll be back all the time. Like, I'm going to be like bi-coastal or whatever. And like, you actually do it.
Yeah. Also, I was with a bunch of friends this weekend at Dawn's birthday and they were saying like, I actually feel like I see you the exact same amount because you're in LA. You don't actually see your friends that often. And moving away and coming back, I see them literally the exact same amount.
Yeah. You're so good at planning too.
Yeah. Well, I have to be. I love Dallas. Best decision I've ever made for myself. I've never been happier in my entire life. So that's incredible. It gives me more freedom. I think it just, in every single way, it has benefited my life and made it like 10 times better.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you, I saw in your Instagram story the other day, you were like, I would maybe dance around moving to like a Nashville or a New York or something. Would you ever do that?
I wouldn't move there permanently. I wouldn't move to New York permanently. I would do like 6 months in New York or something.
Oh, okay.
And then Nashville.
I would do that.
Yeah, like I would just do extended periods of time. I don't think I would ever go to my place in Texas. Yeah. And then also like my biggest fear is like meeting someone and then like falling in love and then having to move. That's actually my biggest fear.
Wait, what do you mean having to move?
Like, what if like they have to live in another city for their job or something?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
No, I don't want to leave Dallas. I would be fine with it if I lived in LA though.
Oh,
I would be
really?
Like, oh, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, but like if they live in Nashville, that's okay. That's it. Okay. That's literally it. Yeah.
Okay, just Nashville. Like, okay,
maybe
I will say if it was like Idaho or some shit, like that wouldn't work out for me.
Yeah, but I just don't see you dating someone from like Idaho, just job wise. Like, I don't see like the career path being that, you know?
No, I don't. But I was thinking like, what if they get signed to like,
yeah, that's true.
Like the Minnesota Vikings. Like, no.
You can still split your ear though.
No, yeah. Or I could just fly in for the games.
Yeah. Exactly. Good idea.
Yeah. I know actually a lot of athletes or like girlfriends and athletes that their girlfriend lives here and the man's is like on some like, I don't know, random like middle of America team and he'll come back here when he's not like practicing. But I'm sure it's hard. It's basically long distance. But at the same time, if you date an athlete to begin with, it's long distance even if you're in the same city because they're traveling so much for games.
Yeah, that's true.
So may as well live where you want to live.
Yeah, true.
Right? Anyway, okay, how's your love life?
I mean, I actually asked my therapist if there was something wrong with me the other day because I've never had less desire at all to date anyone. I was like, is there something? I don't know how to, like, I feel like I've also been in a few, like, longer relationships and I've, like, done that in my 20s and I'm just so happy and I love my friends so much and, like, my social life in Dallas couldn't be better.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine, this is what I always say, I cannot imagine choosing to go on a date over hanging out with my friends. Like, and that is my problem.
I see that. No, I get that. I think the idea of a, like, serious relationship scares me personally because I'm, like, in such a, not to be that girl, but, like, I'm in such a, I just got my own place. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in, like, my, like, fitness routine. Like, I'm in my career.
No, it would, like ruin my routine.
No,
it
yeah.
Would, yeah, everything.
That would really fork with me.
And I, like, right now, the life, if I lived in LA, I think it would be different. I just think it's exactly where I'm at now. I don't want to. But also, I can book a flight and leave 2 days later and it not affect anything. I just have so much freedom right now. Not that, like, dating someone would... What, but you have to think about someone else, you know? And I don't really want to think about anyone else. Yeah. I just want to think about myself.
No,
and my
like dead ass.
Yeah.
And also, I know you. We're both the type of people where if I'm dating someone, yeah. like every decision I'm thinking, like, I'm sorry, like they're included in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, what's wrong with me, but like I devote like everything. I like put it all.
That's not a bad thing, but
yeah, like I'm invested.
On the other end, though, you don't just date random people.
No, I know.
It has to be like we're both this way. We have to be obsessed with them, and it's a very serious thing. So if you did that with a bunch of random people, yeah, it would be unhealthy. But you don't.
Oh,
so it's fine. I don't think that's a bad thing. Yeah, you're welcome.
Wait, when do you think your next like serious relationship will be? Actually, I have two questions. When do you think your next serious relationship will be? And how many more do you think you'll have before you're married?
I mean, I hope to God not more than one. I hope the next person I'm with, I don't want to go through another breakup. I don't want to. I don't want to. If I'm like in a relationship with someone, I don't want it to be more than that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 2023, 2024. I don't see it this year.
Wait, is when you have a serious relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you hope one relationship.
Yeah, I don't want another breakup.
Oh, like want that the next one to be the one.
Yeah, and so that might be too why I'm like, I have no interest.
Oh, okay, I see, Okay, I feel like I'm going to date like, I'm going to have like two or three more like serious relationships before I find the one.
I say that and then I'm like, I don't know, because I also, that freaks me out so much now that I say it. So maybe one or two more. It depends too, because like I would date someone like certain like,
honestly, I could see maybe one for you. Like one serious one, you break up and then you the next person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Because you again, we're not the type to just date just to date. So you're going to keep, you're going to have a year or so, at least a couple in between that big relationship.
That's true.
And like the next big one, right?
It just like stresses me out thinking about it, especially in your 20s. Because I'm like, well, I'm 24. I turn 25. We both turn 25 next summer. We're like 2 weeks apart. And then it's like, okay, well, then I'm 25. And then I start dating someone and that's 3 years. And then you get like that whole timeline that you shouldn't do because it's unhealthy and pointless. It gives me so much anxiety. I can't even think like that.
See, I don't think of that.
Oh
I don't
God,
think about
I can't,
it.
I can't deal with it.
Do you think you think about it more because you're in Dallas?
No, because none of my friends are dating or engaged or anything.
Okay.
Well, I know one person who's engaged.
Because I feel like back home, like the clock is ticking, but here, like the clock is not ticking.
Yeah, I don't feel pressure to like settle down or date someone, but that's just how I naturally am. I think in like timelines. So it freaks me out.
Yeah, I get that. That's pretty crazy to think. Like, because I feel like 25 in my head's like fucking old.
I know. No, I think about it all the time. I had a mental breakdown when I turned 24. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm so old. Like and also I have like every adult responsibility that you could have.
Uh-huh.
But I, for whatever reason, think I'm 17. And I just, it freaks me out.
Well, I will say, I think 25 though is like a special year for people. Mm-hmm. Like the number is such a good number and it is your like quarter life crisis. I think it's going to be a really like transformative year for both of us.
I'm actually really excited. And when I turned 24, I ended up liking it. And now I like getting older. I'm like, ooh, like 25.
Oh,
and
you
Peyton
do?
Loved being 25.
No, I know. Like,
so that's what I always think about it.
Peyton's obsession, my old roommate's obsession with being 25 is like what gets me excited for 25.
Yeah.
And she also said 24 was the worst year of her life. So I'm like, okay, like this isn't that bad.
23 was my worst year. 24 has been good.
I don't know what my worst year was. Maybe like 18 or 19, because I was like in LA and I was so lost, but it was also so good.
Yeah.
Like for me.
That's how I feel about 23.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love that. When do you think I'll get in my next serious relationship?
I don't know, Taylor. You're a wild card. I really, I feel like you won it this year. But I don't know how the word serious kind of changes that. Like, I would say within like this year, next year.
Okay.
Next year latest.
Uh-huh. I could see that. I could see myself dating someone this year, but it doesn't have to be like, it's not the one, but like I would date them.
It's also just so different. You living in LA, dating here is the worst thing
I've never seriously dated someone here.
Yeah.
But I've also never found someone I liked.
Here. Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a very like specific type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You needed to stay in Santa Monica.
I guess so. I just need to go. Yeah. I need to go exactly where they are more. I need to just like make it my spot.
Every sports bar imaginable.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay, one of the things I admire so much about you, Kenzie, is you are a say it and then you do it. Like, you literally you talk the talk and you walk, or you walk the talk.
Yeah, thank
you. You literally do. Dead ass. And I find that to be so powerful and rare because I say a lot of bullshit that I don't do. Even like my, I feel like just everyone I know says a lot of bullshit that we don't do, which is okay. But like, you dead ass do it. And it doesn't mean that you do it the best, but you still fucking do it. And I like respect that so much. And I just want to know, why do you have that mentality? Do you even think about that? Why is that so important to you to like finish something or fulfill it or execute it? You know what I mean?
It has to be a way that I was raised, because I would never not do it. Like, I wouldn't think to not do it. Also, my biggest pet peeve, I don't feel like you do that, by the way. Like, when you say you're going to do a bunch of stuff and then don't execute.
Yeah, but I will say yes, but also I do come up with like crazy ideas and stuff all the time that I want to do, and I just don't do because I'm like, it's like a lot of work and blah, 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 like
in time and yes, yeah.
So I definitely do it, but I also, there's people that are worse than me, I'd say.
I also have had a lot of freedom because I have worked for myself since I was 16, 17 years old.
That's so true.
I've always had the freedom to do it, and then
the only person that's going to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's true.
Yes. So say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I will say my biggest pet peeve about people is like when you're talking about something or like talking a lot of shit or like whatever it is and you have no solution. It's like, all right, well, you're just like going in circles and you're not doing anything. Like, if you keep complaining, you need to come up with a solution. So I just like can't stand that in other people. It's less about, but in my mind, I think about it in a way of, you're unhappy with something and you're not making change, not really like, oh, you have an idea and you're gonna execute it. So I don't know, that in itself really bothers me, and it just annoys me because I'm like, you can't keep complaining about something if you're not gonna make a change.
You're not gonna take the action.
So I don't know, it just didn't really cross my mind to not do it necessarily.
Well, okay, my question is though, awesome. It's so awesome and fulfilling when you're like, okay, I wanna start a podcast and it works out well, right? And you actually do it, and it, you know, things just happen and it works out well. But what happens when you are like a nobody and you start a podcast and it's just like actually really forking hard, and maybe like it's more work than you expected, which it will be. And I don't know, it's getting in the way of things, and you're not as passionate about it anymore because you're doing all like the nitty gritty, and I don't know, whatever the case is. So in that sense, like, you just don't give up, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you reroute and change your mind, which is fine, but I feel like you like go full force with things. And what if you're not that into it? Because I can't imagine you being that into every single thing that you say you want to do and end up doing, right?
Yeah, I've also been around long enough to know like people go in waves. So even if something isn't working out for you in that moment in the way that you expect it to, it doesn't mean that it's not going to next year. Like, there's been so many people.
That's a great outlook.
Yeah, there's been so many people. It's like, oh, well, they're big now, but 2 years from now, they probably won't be, and there will be someone else.
Yeah.
So also, that's just not my, that's not really like how I define success either. In the words of Luke Combs in the song Doing It or Doing This or whatever, he's like, I'd still be doing this if I wasn't doing this. I was thinking about this on the car ride.
Wait, what is the line?
Basically, the concept is, he was asked in an interview what he would be doing if he wasn't doing music, like to the extent that he is, and he was like, I would still be doing this.
Got it.
And then I was thinking about that today, like, career-wise, I'm like, even if I wasn't doing like YouTube podcasting full-time, I would still be doing it. Like, I genuinely do love it that much. There are parts of any job that you're not going to like, and I actually think that's a really important part of it. But I also really love doing it, so that makes it easier. But you can't, I just think, like, even if I would have stopped doing YouTube, if someone said something rude to me when I was 18 and, like, made fun of me at school or whatever, if I would have stopped then, I would not have the career that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I always think, like, I'm a big picture thinker. And
Got
I
it.
Think bigger. So I'm not really as focused in on like that exact moment. But mm-hmm. also like you don't know who's going to be the next big thing. You don't know who's going to pop off. Like there are people who randomly pop off on TikTok mm-hmm. at like 30. Emily Mariko had been around for a long time.
Oh my gosh,
she's
posting forever.
Yeah, yeah. So like you just don't know what's finally going to hit. But also like your worth cannot like exist in numbers on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing I've had really good boundaries with. And that's why I've been able to kind of just like stick it out. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's also to me a lot more about like building a really strong community than it is about having like millions of subscribers.
Great advice.
So because I have
which
that.
Which you have a strong ass community.
Yes.
You do.
Yeah. And so because I have that, that is so much more fulfilling to me than like having millions of followers on something and no community. Like I way more care about a community than I care about a following. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. But if you're in that position and you're starting a podcast and you really love it and it's not happening, like you, Lauren and Michael said this to me. Michael said this to me when I signed the podcast when we first launched. He's like, you have to commit to doing like 50 plus episodes before you think anything's going to happen.
Wow.
And it worked. It worked out almost immediately.
Yeah.
But he was like, you have to just know it takes time. Like you can't.
Good things take time.
Yeah, exactly. And if you were quit. If you quit under a year in the podcast world, especially, like, I would just recommend staying consistent and sticking it out for a while. And also, it's hard. Like, with podcasting, you find your own voice. And I still feel like I'm still finding my voice. Mm-hmm. And even Joe Rogan said it took him, like, 500 episodes to figure that out. So it just takes time.
Even myself, like, I've been having this podcast for years now. But, like, I completely rebranded. Mm-hmm. And I, like... It's weird because I felt like I needed the tools that I have now to do that rebrand the right way. But I am so glad I didn't start out with what I have right now, because like everything that I started with, like starting on Anchor and like doing it out of my house and like using coffee table books as my like table or like my mic stand and like buying all my own equipment, editing the fork out of my podcast, like I have so much more. It shaped me into a way better podcaster and like have way more empathy. Even when I'm listening to someone else, like if a little audio thing goes wrong, like all the time I feel like podcasters will be like, hey guys, sorry, the audio is a little forked, but like I'm still going to upload it. Like that doesn't bother me because I'm like, I get it. Like yeah. I respect that you like took the time to do it and whatever. And I don't know. I think that everyone's journey, like your chapter 8 might be my chapter 5 and like that's okay. But yeah, all of that to say is I respect the fork out of you, like starting and finishing things, because I think it's like, it's such a simple concept and it's so hard.
It might be pride in me too, and like an unhealthy way, that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. No, I've like, been that way my entire life.
No, dead ass. Yeah. You do. It's
but
crazy
to me. It might be pride.
Me.
I'm like, well, I said I'm going to do it. I have to do it, you know?
Yeah. Even stuff that I'm like, you'll just say, in my head, you're just saying it to me to, like, bounce off ideas. And because I do that all the time. I'll be like, oh, you know, I would love to come up with a card game one day. Oh, I would love to, like, do this. I would love to have a lipstick thing. And, like, in my head, I'm like, that's an idea. But, like, you're like, no, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who, what, where, when, why?
There are things, though, that I want to do that I don't, I'm like, it's not my time to do them yet.
Okay.
So I will, like, bounce that off. I'm like, oh, there's things at 30 I want to do that I won't do now. So, but that's... You know, I mean, we'll see if I end up doing it. So that's 6 years away.
What is that?
Like, eventually, I would want, like, I was at Boot Barn, you know, not that long ago.
Love.
One of my favorite places to be told me about the Farmer's Almanac. I learned a lot there. But every country star has a cowboy boot line. And I realized that. And I was like, I need a cowboy boot line. Like, that is what I want to do at 30.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm already doing a clothing brand, which launches this year. And that we've been working on for the past year. So that's now, but I'm like later. And then also I'd want to make Breadwinning Housewife an even bigger thing and do more like kitchen, cookbook, things like that. I want to do a book one day. Like there are things I want to do. I just
you
know it's not my
time.
You have
to do a book.
Yeah, I will. Well, I went to a psychic the other day. This was crazy. They gave, Dom and I went.
Wait, where? I need to go.
I'll give you her contact. It's actually, you know, Kit Keenan.
Yes.
Okay, so she posted something about a psychic.
I
called her immediately and I was like, who is a psychic? Like you need to tell me because we need answers. So we went.
In New York?
No, sorry. It was on Zoom. We made a video about it. It's not up yet. But
wait, I knew it's on Zoom?
Yeah, you can just Zoom. She's like 3 months out. I'll give you her like phone number just like after this.
Period.
But, her name is Laura Cifaldi or something like that. She's really incredible. But it was crazy. She asked me what You'll love this because it's boys. She asked me if I knew if there was a male in my life that started with this certain letter, and it was my ex-boyfriend, and I was like, yeah. She asked me about a number and a month, and at first I was like, no, there's no correlation. After that, I'm like, oh my God, that's the number was when we started dating. The month was the last time, was like recent, last time I was with him. Completely explained everything, and I was like, that's so weird. But it was odd because it's not something I care about now. Like, that's like past stuff. But it was validating because everything else that she said, I trusted more. And then she asked about another name, and it was Dom's ex, like most recent ex. Crazy stuff. And I've like never been into this at all. I was just like interested. I'm open to like whatever. And then she told me I was gonna write a book, basically is what I'm getting at. But it was crazy.
Wait, did she have your information though? Like, could she look you up on the internet?
She could have looked me up on the internet, but there were things about Dom's family and boys. Like, these are not boys that we've ever posted about, okay, ever.
Because also in my head, I'm like,
I think that too, yeah.
Well, also, I'm like, I don't really care because just like, tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, just tell me,
Yeah. Tell me like what you actually think I'm going to do because like, I'll like run with it. But
well, she went into Dom's family though, of things that Dom doesn't talk about her family online at all, no, that were just very specific. It was
that's bananas. Very weird. Oh my, yeah, gosh, give me her info.
Oh, I will.
I've always wanted to go to one of those people.
Yeah. She's great. It's on Zoom. She's a New Jersey medium.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And Kit like recommended her. She,
yeah, Kit just randomly, they randomly like crossed paths and the girl came up to her basically and said, what does this name mean to you? What does this month mean to you? And it was a guy and they had stopped talking that month. And then it went on about the future. It was crazy. So that's why I called her. I was like, wait, okay, I want to know career stuff. Like, can you please?
Yeah.
She said TV too, which a lot of people have said. So like, we'll see.
TV? Mm-hmm. Like a show or something?
Yeah. And she was, I feel like if anything, it would be like hosting, but she just kept saying TV and book around 30.
Definitely book. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So maybe it's like you're promoting your book like on like interviews on TV.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be shocked if there was like hosting or something, yeah, you know?
True. So anyway, okay, let's cut to a quick break and we're going to come back with some of y'all's questions. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
This is the first question, and I actually really like it because I think we're really good at it.
And really humble and modest.
Yeah, I'm really humble and sexy and gorgeous.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. How do you separate your friendship from being online and offline?
Okay.
Because I think we do a pretty good
really job of it. About this. I was with Peyton last week, and we got dinner. And Peyton and I have been friends. I have known her probably for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And we talk work and stuff, but normally it's never, if you guys, obviously I feel like everyone listening to this podcast knows Peyton. Peyton is
my
TK's
old roommate. Who I technically trusted. I never had met her and I trusted her being my roommate because she knew Kenzie.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I
mean? I was like, they're mutual, but they connected through Instagram. But I realized we had like all this whole business talk and I'm like, we've never actually really talked work because Peyton has the craziest life and the best stories out of anyone. And she is the most fascinating person to me. She's literally my favorite person to sit down and talk to. So I have a lot of other things to ask her about her life. And then I realized, like, oh, we were like 6 years into this and we actually have never really talked work ever. So I'm like that with people, but I'm also on the other end, we're both very driven and have so many ideas. But we also became friends. You weren't even, I mean, you had a YouTube channel, like just like anyone else had one, but like we just became friends before that. So I think that helps too. Like we didn't meet to like film of YouTube videos and collab and then, you know.
I was gonna say, I feel like you literally know, at least out of my LA friends, the most about my personal life, like back in the day, like my ex-boyfriends and like things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like she was there for my like big breakup.
Have you told the story on the podcast of you took the fireball, the shot of fireball or whatever at 7 a.m.?
I don't think I have.
You should tell the story.
I don't know that I have,
it's
actually.
It's such a good one. We threw Taylor a congrats, a breakup party dinner.
Congrats, you broke up with
at
him.
At Gracias Madre. Yeah, a literal party at 19.
Wait, this was like, we were so
this
savage.
Is a good story. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so so I had been dating this guy for too long. And
years.
Yeah, and it was the never-ending breakup. Like, it was so dramatic.
It was a good three-month-long breakup.
Yeah. Honestly, I like blacked out so much of it that I'm like, was this like the last final straw? Because I'm like, did we get back together after this?
Yeah, because he came and went to that thing. But this was.
He flew.
This was when you
he
first.
He was so dramatic too.
You took a break. You didn't talk for a few weeks. He was supposed to call you. He didn't. And then you did this.
Period. Oh, yeah. I was
savage. I have a really good memory. Yeah, that's why I really do. Oh, yeah.
Probably because I complained like crazy bitch to you. Okay. So. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did this. I was so. I literally thought I was Miranda Priestly. Like, actually. Like, I was okay. So, this guy I was dating. We had been dating for too long and he lived back in the Midwest and I lived here. So I was like a city girl and he was like a, I don't know, like a 307.
Yes.
Major 307 vibes. And so we decided to take a break, aka we're going to fucking break up soon. But in my head, I was like, all right, we're taking a break. And I didn't want to break up. Like, I just wasn't ready in the sense that I knew I needed deep down to like break up and I needed to like just like plant my roots in LA because I was just so dilly-dallying like back and forth and like I didn't even really like him that much. Like I did, but like I think I liked the idea of him more than him. And so he kind of initiated this. He was like in a frat and he like wanted a party and like I knew it needed to happen, but like also I just didn't want it to. So we took this break. I end up like going to Coachella, like doing all this shit, like blah, 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 blah. He's like, we're going to do it for a month. And I was like, we're not going to talk and then we'll regroup, right? So we take the break. I go to Coachella. It's like after a week. And of course he like calls me after a week. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, stop talking to me. We're on a break. So,
Didn't get the memo.
Yeah, idiot. This is your idea. So, we talk for like, I don't know, 10 minutes. And then I was like, all right, gotta go. Like, we're on a break. So, we had a specific date. It was like a Monday that, it, I don't know, Monday, April. Let's see, if I went to Coachella's in the beginning. So let's say it was like April 30th. And that was the date. And everyone forking knew.
Oh, I knew the date.
He knew the date. I knew the date. Kenzie knew the date. Like the actual day of when we're supposed to like decide, okay, are we breaking up or are we like making this work? So the day comes around and I'm like a nervous wreck. I can't eat. I can't sleep. Like I'm just like, I don't know. I was like super
really
obsessed. Yeah, I was super obsessed with this guy. And I just didn't want to break. I didn't want to break up. I wasn't ready. Like, I don't think I had, like, I was scared. Like, I didn't have my friends here yet. And I just, he was like my comfort zone and whatever. So the date comes around and I'm like literally having my, I'm texting my friends. I'm like, dude, guys, like, send a prayer up for me today. Like, what's going on? Like, whatever. So the date comes around and I don't hear anything the whole forking day. Cause in my head, I'm like, he has to reach out. He wanted the break. Like, it's, he should know. It's his decision ultimately because I want to stay together. Don't hear anything the whole entire day. Like, actually imagine you've been dating someone for like 2.5-3 years and like you take this long ass break and you, it's like a long day if you don't talk to your significant other for like a week. Like, that's a long time, let alone a month. So that Monday comes around, nothing. Right? Yeah. And I'm probably like going off to Kenzie about it.
Yeah.
Like whatever. And a few of my other friends. And they weren't even that good of friends, but like everyone knew what was going on. They were like, what a dick. So then the next day I'm like, okay, he'll definitely like, you know, call me tomorrow. Right? Don't hear anything. Like nothing. Like literally nothing. This is a Tuesday. Wednesday comes around. I'm like, he's for sure going to hit me up today. Like, and also like he was a pretty, like he wasn't that big of a douchebag where he would like live up to his word. Like, if he was going to say something, I knew he would. Well,
the letters.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, my memory, guys. I don't know how you did.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And so then, the letter. So then Thursday comes around, and I'm like, I think one of his guy friends was talking to me, and I was like, no. I think I called him on Wednesday.
You woke up. This is how you told
this story. I called him on Wednesday, and he didn't forking answer. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay, this is it. I remember. So I was talking to one of his friends and I was like trying to like see what the vibe was. Like, hi, is like so-and-so alive? And he was like, yeah. So I was like in my head, it was Wednesday. He was supposed to call Monday. I was like, I'm just going to forking call him. Right? Like, I'm going to like just get the balls and call him. So I'm literally like on my knees in my bedroom, like terrified, shaking, screaming, crying, throwing up. And I'm like telling my friends, I'm like, I'm about to call him, like, wish me luck, whatever. So I call him. It's been a month. We haven't talked. He hasn't reached out to me. I call him. I like get the nerve to finally actually dial his phone number and rings. Like, he does not answer me. Yeah. He doesn't fucking answer me on this call. I was livid, like actually so forking mad. So then I'm like, all right. You know what? He is going to call me back, right? So I'm thinking the whole night he's going to call me back. Like, I've missed the call or whatever, blah, 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 blah. So then the next morning, there's nothing. I talked to one of my best friends and my mom, and they're like, pull the plug. Like, it's time. Like, pull the forking plug. Meanwhile, I'm updating Kenzie with all this. She's like, what the fuck? Yeah. So I wake up the next morning. I'm in my matching Victoria's Secret pajama set.
That's my favorite part of the story.
Hearts. They're like red and pink hearts.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
Yeah. And I walk into my kitchen and I had, I think, some Jack Daniels. I don't even know if I was 21 yet, honestly. I think I might have been 20.
Yeah, you weren't because it was your birthday in Palm Springs.
Yeah. I was 20. So I went and I got some Jack Daniels. And I don't even forking like whiskey, but I was like, fork it. So I pour a shot into a glass. I literally, it's probably 8 in the morning or 7:30. I rip a shot. I'm my 20-year-old self in my matching pajama set. Rip a shot of whiskey. I go into my roommate's room, who I wasn't really that tight with, but like she just was involved with everything. Mm-hmm. So I go into my roommate's room. I call him and I'm like, I have to call him and I'm going to break up with him. So I call him and he answers and he's like, hey, Tay, oh my God, I was just going to call you. And I was like, oh, really? I'm calling to break up with you.
No, the line is like, oh, I'm calling to break up with you, episode title. It's a really, no.
He goes, oh my God, I was just going to call you. And I was like, no way, I'm calling to break up with you.
And then he goes silent.
So, like, yeah. I was savage. And he goes, like, radio silent. He's like, what? Like, so concerned. He, like, claims he never saw my call or got it, blah, 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 blah. I'm not kidding you. Like, it was a Thursday. Sunday, he flew to LA.
Yeah.
Or Saturday. I don't know. It was insane.
Immediately.
And we were, like, 20 years old. I'm like, relax.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happened. And there were a lot of letters. Oh, my God, I forgot about the letters. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What did you think of that? Was I being dramatic?
Well, no. Now that I'm looking back on it, I think, too, that's another way that we got so close, because there's no bonding like bonding over a breakup.
Yeah.
And
you gave me such good advice.
Yeah. I had recently gone through a breakup like 6 months before that. And so I was like, okay, do this, do that. And I don't know. There's just no bond. It's such an easy thing to bring friends together. Uh-huh. And we got really close through that.
But I will say, you're so good with like, I would complain and talk about it, and you were, like, still so good at advice and, like, hear me out.
Yeah.
Which people get annoyed easily.
Yeah, but I feel like people who get annoyed easily haven't, like, had their heart broken.
Yes, too. That's true.
So I think because I had just gone through such a bad breakup, I was like, I get it. I remember one of my friends annoyed me so much in high school. And then when I went through my first breakup, I was like,
oh,
I feel bad. That makes sense. The other thing with the breakup, too, you were just comfortable. You were, and this is how I was with my breakup with my college boyfriend. It's like, I didn't actually want to be with him, but I was too in denial.
Yes.
And I was too comfortable. And oh my I was God. Way more afraid of how my life would change by losing that person than I was of losing the person. If you're in that position, leave the relationship now. And I promise you, your life will get 100 times better.
Like, I wouldn't let me even think about it because I knew it was wrong. Like, I knew I was not his girl, and I knew he was not my guy. And, like, he just, we're so different.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm way too, no.
Had that not happened, I don't know if you would be a different person, because you would have stayed on that path because you're in that relationship and you were so young, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah, so, and then he flew out. It was so dramatic. Like, literally so dramatic. Flew out, like, ASAP Rocky, like a move. Frat boy. Literally, helped me move, broke up with me again after he flew out to help me move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of bullshit, but, like, it shaped me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It turned
also,
you into
I
who
you
are. Also,
I think I scare him.
Probably.
Yeah. And he wrote me a 22-page letter?
Yes, and she didn't respond for, like, 2 weeks, by the way.
Yeah.
She was sitting on that 22 handwritten letter, by the way, that he dropped off in her mailbox. She didn't reply for weeks.
He's a good writer.
The thing about you is that you can be really intimidating, not naturally. Like, you're very friendly and, and approachable, but you are really intimidating in the sense of, with guys,
I know,
you will say something. Like,
yeah, I don't give a fuck.
No, like, she will walk straight up. If someone, like, had literally ignored her for months and she walked straight up to them and was like, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah. No, like, I think I'm unpredictable. Yeah. Like, I'm scary in that sense. And I understand that because a lot of people have told me that.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Yeah. No, I have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, because of the break shit, I think that hurt me so much. I was like, oh, I'm giving you a taste of, like, your own medicine.
I wonder, yeah, it was definitely that. But I wonder if breaks so have ever worked for people. I'm sure there has to be success cases.
Yes, I think in the sense where it's like, oh, we broke up / took a break for a little bit and then got back together. But they never work. I think they only work if you guys see other people.
Yeah.
Or, like, dilly-dally a little. Because I think, like, you have to realize, okay, actually I miss that person.
You have to actually move on to know that you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I actually think a breakup before you get married is super, like, healthy.
There are so many married couples that I know who broke up when they were dating.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So many. But yeah, I think, oh my gosh, that was such a good story. And so I need more drama like that in my life, like boy drama.
Yeah.
And he we ended up breaking up for realsies, and it was, like, the best thing of my life. I, like, finally came into my own. I feel like he held me back a lot.
Lauren and I talk about that all the time, and we're like, our breakups were the best thing that could have ever happened to
us. Oh my gosh.
Ever.
I didn't even realize the stuff I was, like, holding myself back from doing because of, like, so-and-so.
And when you're in the relationship, you don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
So then you're just, it's like never-ending denial. Mm-hmm. You're, like, gaslighting yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Kenzie is the best. Like, you're one of my favorite friends to talk boys because you're so understanding.
Thanks.
No, and the last guy I was like dilly dallying with.
Oh yeah.
You literally took me aside and you go, that is TK, have fun. Do what you want. That is not your guy. And everyone has been telling me that. When Kenzie said it, I was like, you're right.
But also, like, people were holding back. Like, people, I was like, oh, is someone going to say something? Like, and then I was like, okay, I got to call. Like, I am not the friend. I'm, on one end, incredibly understanding. I really am. I've also been in therapy my whole life. So, like, I really am really understanding. But I'm also, when people are afraid of confrontation because they, like, don't want to hurt someone's feelings or don't want to, like, whatever, I'm like, if that's my friend and they're gonna waste any more of their time in this setting, that is doing them a disservice.
Yeah,
like, I will call and be like, I did it this weekend. I do it, like, I don't do it if there's not, like, enough relational equity. I'm not just going to random people. But I'm like, no, a friend texted me yesterday and I drafted out a message. I was like, well, all you have to do is communicate, draft out a message. It's just not that hard. Communicate and tell your friends when someone is not it.
But the thing is, I think your approach, instead of being like, oh, he's such a fuckboy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that at all. You're very like, no, I get it.
Yeah.
You're like, I get it. He does this. Like, that's kind of cute, whatever. But I'm just telling you.
He's fun.
Yeah. You're like, I get it. He's so fun. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm telling you. And you, like, literally just were so straight up. You were just like, I just know that's not your guy. But, like, have fun. And I was like, oh my God, she's right. Like, I'm cutting this off. I literally, next day, funeral.
Yeah. But I just didn't want you to keep, like, I don't know. I wanted you to feel better.
Yeah.
You know?
You had my best interest.
Yeah, I have their best interest in mine.
Which is crazy. And I swear, like, I deadass listened to you. Did I not?
No, you did immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
No, like, I listen to Kenzie. I'm like, because I feel like you also, like, some of my friends just don't understand, like, the way I dilly-dally with dudes, because I do. I, like, I have a bunch of people I like to flirt with or whatever, or, like, whatever. But you, I feel like you get it, and you just know when it's, like, actually wasting my time.
Yeah, because
versus when it's just fun.
I think both of us can be like, oh, no, like, we're not actually invested or something. And then all of a sudden we are invested. And I'm like, you can't get to that point. Mm-hmm. Once you get to a certain point, it's so much harder to move on from something. Yeah. But yeah, just it's all about the approach when it comes to telling your friend. I'm also, there are times when you need to stay out of it, especially if you got, if it's like someone's boyfriend or something. Like, there is a point where you should just not say anything. Yeah. But yeah, I think it is about the approach.
I will say, I think I was fishing. I was asking you to tell me.
Well, you did come to me about it and ask. So that was another thing. I was really paying attention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one else was straight up with me like you were.
Yeah, because I'm like, you need to stop, like,
dilly-dallying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt yourself is what I was worried about.
Exactly. Okay, so what kind of guy do you think you're going to end up with? Because I really think you need to have a country music, like, dude face.
You know, unfortunately, the psychic did tell me, this is where I don't know if she was right, that she sees it, someone that I meet when I'm, well, you know what is interesting? So I have a friend, I have a group of guy friends in Nashville who are, one is really successful in music, and then a few of them are also, like, in that world. She brought them up and was like, I feel, and I've always said this, and she's like, it's not a love connection, but it's not a romantic love connection, but it is a connection in the way that you guys are, like, very good friends, and you guys will keep introducing each other to people, which we do all the time already. But she said she thinks that I'm going to meet someone and they're setting something and they're wearing a suit and it's like lawyer, doctor, which, like, I would rather, no offense, die than be with a doctor. I don't want that.
Well, I could see you being with a lawyer.
Yeah, I could.
That's,
like,
kind of hot. I think lawyers are hot.
Like, I could do that. But yeah, I would love.
Lawyers are so hot.
The, like, country music scene is, like,
well,
what I love.
Well, here's my thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you have a good one or two relationships.
Yeah, and I would do that.
And yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be an awesome phase.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. And you could, like, look back and be like, yeah, I dated this country music star.
My realtor did that. And she was telling me. Yeah, she was telling me about it. And I was like, oh, that does sound fun. Maybe I would do that. My issue is that I just literally, if a guy comes up to me and I am not in love, I pay them. I don't give them any attention in the slightest. So that's kind of the problem.
Okay. Yeah, you don't. But, like, I know when you're going to date someone.
Yeah, everyone does. Yeah. And I act like no one knows.
She's literally like, no, I don't even like him. And we're like, yes, you do, bitch. But
yeah, he's, like, at my house immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I feel like your country music dude phase might be, like, my athlete dude phase.
Mm-hmm. I think I can mix the two. What about someone in entertainment law?
No, I
who's
think
in country.
I think, like, an entertainment law dude is, like, the type you marry. I'm saying, like, country star is, like, someone you just date for funsies.
Yeah, I could be into that.
Yeah. But I could see you dating or like marrying a lawyer or like a business. I think you are so, I think you're attracted to people's minds like I am, like the, you know, what's going on up here. And I think a lawyer, someone that challenges you, like, your brain, I think is really attractive to you.
And I like feel, leaders.
Not saying that country singers are. I'm like, country singers are forking dumb. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's like the business-minded.
Yeah, I think you seem need someone you can, like, talk strategy with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see. I'll keep you guys posted. If I date a country star, no one will know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, maybe it'll happen. You know?
Exactly. Okay, let's cut to a quick break, and we'll come back with more questions. Oh, this is a great question. How do you turn unproductive days into a productive one? I feel like you're the queen of this too.
I can be, but last week I was, okay, I have PMDD, so like the week before my cycle, I'm—
Wait, what?
Premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
What does
that
mean?
So like the week before my period, it is, I talk about it all the time because so many people have it and you just don't know. You know how, I mean, obviously girls are like, oh, I'm, you know, more emotional or I feel better on my cycle, whatever. It is like, and I actually have like anxiety depression. Like I'm not just saying that. So like, oh my God, I feel anxious. But my anxiety depression, it will be like one day I'm fine. The next day it is a dark cloud over me. I have like extreme fatigue. My eyes were shutting for like 2 days. I couldn't stay awake. It's really bad. Anyways, that was last week and it was like worse than normal. And so I kind of just ended up being really easy on myself, which I've only recently learned to do. Like I still have to get things done, but I used to like really guilt myself. And
same. Guilt-free, like I can't rest guilt-free.
Yes, exactly. And I've gotten a lot better at that. But I think the first thing I had to do actually with turning unproductive days into productive days was learn to not shame myself for every single thing that I'm doing. Like it's like you're never in your eyes going to be doing enough or seeing enough or recording enough podcasts, like whatever it is. So learning to like give myself more grace and be easier on myself. Like I can give anyone in my life grace, but I couldn't give myself any sort of grace. So that was really helpful. Just like practical things, though, going on a walk, changing your routine. For me, it's almost like always working out. That's a huge thing.
When I say I cannot stress that enough. Mm-hmm. Like dead ass, if I'm having the worst unproductive day and I'm like so guilty about it and I'm like not feeling great and whatever, the only thing actually that can make me feel a little bit better is going to the gym and maybe doing a 30-minute walk on the treadmill.
Yeah,
like
some sort of movement.
Some type. I don't know what it is. It's just it's automatic success and accomplishment and like one like it just
the
like
gratification
yes like, instant gratification that's what it is. It actually is.
I also notice I do a lot better in a routine. That's why I'm so routined. Mm-hmm. So if I'm like, even today I have a lot going on today and I'm like, I wish I would have booked a workout class. I would have had to do it like 6, but I wish I would have done that because I would have been more on. Like I was thinking about that on the way here. Working out was just a huge thing. Like even like I got up and I made sure I journaled because I'm like, I just feel like my brain fog recently has just been so bad. Mm-hmm. I read all the time, things like that. But those are small things that you wouldn't necessarily correlate with turning an unproductive day into a productive day. But for me, it's when I'm in a really healthy routine that I'm the most productive. The busier I get, the more that routine matters. And the more when people are like, how do you have time? It's like you make time for what you want to make time for.
Yeah.
And so that helps.
The workout / journaling combo is truly the only thing that actually clears cobwebs in my head.
Same.
Like, I don't know what it is. And it is a common denominator among successful people, I would say, is getting some type of movement. It doesn't have to be a crazy, like, CrossFit workout.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just, it can just be going for a light walk or whatever. It's just, like, something about it is, I think, scientifically proven that it, like, it boosts natural endorphins and serotonin and things like that. That I don't know, it just gets me going.
Do you journal often?
Yeah. How would you say often?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not the best about it. I did it today because I couldn't work out. But I'm trying to get back into it. Another thing that Sagi told me is I need to start writing. But do you ever do morning pages when you journal? That's why I'm asking. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of that.
So basically, you can either set a timer for like 10 minutes or you can say, I'm just going to free write for three pages. Sorry. Uh-huh. And you just don't stop. Like, your hand doesn't, you don't take your hand off the page.
Uh-huh.
And when I do that regularly, which I haven't done, yeah, you get things out. Or, like, this is another thing, too, because I struggle with finding, like, realizing like what my emotions are coming from. Like, I don't know why I feel a certain way sometimes. And that's something my therapist has made me do, is like go through and I will write
three pages. Good.
And then I'm like, oh my God, I would never have thought that was bothering
yes.
me. But I figured out what it was. So that is a huge thing too. If you're feeling really unproductive or you're feeling like you're in a slump, I would try morning pages too.
I need to do that because sometimes I will get irritable with just random people in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's because a completely different thing that yeah. I don't even realize is really bothering me that much. And that would be the solution.
It helps a ton. Mm-hmm. Going on walks too, like getting outside, hot girl walk, podcast, music.
Yeah.
Things like that. I think there is a time where you need to give yourself, cut yourself some slack and maybe take the day off. But I would say that's maybe 5% of the time.
Also,
and that's kind of a high percentage in my opinion.
Something about like sweating.
Yes.
And like releasing something is like so good. I don't know what it's has to do scientifically, but like it hits different.
It makes it like cures all my problems, honestly.
Yeah. I would say the same for me when I'm unproductive. Definitely, as if I get 20 to 30 minutes in of anything, I instantly feel more productive. Another thing I try and do is one of my favorite things to do actually is when I'm like, there's so much in my head and lists that I have to do, like right now what I'm thinking about that I have to do. And there's so many different pockets of life I need to conquer that I make this list in a journal where it's like today, maybe, and later. Like
You've
I do three columns.
This.
Yes. And it's three columns. And you just take any piece of paper and you put it today, maybe, later. And on today is the only things you 110% will get done. Do not put something you might get done in the today column because that's going to ruin it, right? You have to put even like little stuff like, oh, I kind of need to go to the grocery store, but I could go tomorrow. That goes in the maybe column. And then later means like send expense stuff to tax guy or whatever, like stuff that I like, it's on
organize
my mind.
Your closet. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. The only thing in the today column is like what you're actually going to get done today. So sometimes that might be like two or three things, because I think it's important to, instead of trying to like some, I get lost in like all my different tasks and I feel more productive. And I'm like, okay, what's the one thing I actually have to get done today? Because it's way less intimidating than having like 80 gazillion things, because I can kind of put those in the other columns. Mm-hmm. And if I get them done, I feel happy because I'm like, oh my God, I didn't have to do that. Does that make sense?
You know what? Something you taught me. Yes,
what?
It does. We used to meet up in the mornings. We would do like weekly meetings of, I don't know, we didn't get coffee
we
early
were so,
in the morning.
Like before our time.
We were, yeah, we really were. But something you taught me, in an assignment you gave me, if you will, was making a list of things that refuel you throughout the week. And one of my biggest lessons around the age of 20 was realizing that resting and recharge, or that being lazy and resting are totally different things, or recharging, right?
So I can't believe I made you do that.
You
wow.
made me, right? Well, we both did it.
Yeah.
But write a list of things that I, like, I got energy from, or
oh,
that
okay.
I felt good around, or that I felt better about. And
wait,
so,
let's say ours.
So mine, I mean, kind of what I listed off, certain friends, I'm really outgoing, but I'm actually an introvert. Like, I need time to recharge. Reading mm-hmm. refuels me. Cooking from home, going on walks, early morning coffee with friends, Pilates, working out. What about you?
Things that refuel me. Being outside.
Mm-hmm.
A great good night's rest,
yeah.
like of sleep. I think also a good ass conversation with
yes.
like someone I love. It doesn't even have to be like work related.
I have like a FaceTime with someone on my list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like people that I can call that I know I'm going to feel happier about are my mom, you, my brother, even like Alicia and Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to call them and be like, hey, I'm struggling with this, like, can you help? And just like making me feel motivated or just excited, or, you know, like no words of encouragement, knowing that, because I'm such a words of affirmation person. So sometimes I will ask, I'll be like, hey, I'm struggling with this, what should I do? And I'll ask.
You're really good about that.
And I like asking for help.
You verbalize what you need very
yes.
well. Yes.
Oh, thank you. I don't even realize that I am, but now I do, because I do
mm-hmm.
it a lot. I'll be just the other day, I was stressed out because I wanted to go to this thing, but also I was so exhausted and I knew if I would have gone, I would have been like pissed that I would have gone. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? And I was like, hey, here's my thoughts. I feel bad. I really want to go. but I'm stressed out and I'm really tired and I know I'll be mad. And I was like, can you walk me through this? Or like,
you need to listen to my recent episode with Molly Carmel. She talks about this exactly.
Oh, really?
And she, it was, it, and it's all about kind of like New Year, like anxiety, whatever.
Love.
It was so helpful for me in that exact topic.
Okay. But yeah, a good conversation does like the best for me. Mm-hmm. Definitely a walk, workout. Even I love a great podcast. Yeah. Some good ones that I resort to recently, or I've been resorting to, are I love Smartless. Have you heard
no.
that? Oh my God, Kenzie, you're going to fucking love it. It's with three comedians. So it's Will Arnett, which is Amy Poehler's ex-husband, Sean Hayes, and Jason Bateman from Ozark. And I'm not kidding you. So they're like comedians, and it's these three guys. And every week they have on a new celebrity guest. So like one of them will surprise the other two. Like the other two don't know who it is. So it'll be
cool.
Literally like Sandra Bullock or like LeBron James or Ryan Reynolds. Like these are actual guests that they'll have. And it'll be like Jason surprising the other two with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah,
or like
crazy.
Ryan Reynolds, like someone crazy. So the other two like haven't prepared.
Oh,
to,
I like that
for
a lot.
The interview. So it's like so like off the cuff. And I'm sure like on the back end, their producers are like, okay, here's some topics, whatever. But they're so funny and it's so cool because it is technically an entertainment like comedic podcast, but they're interviewing such high performing successful people that you still get little tidbits. And I don't know, it just it clears my mind.
Well,
I love that podcast.
Found too with podcasts is that I go through phases where all I can listen to is like high performing whatever, and then I'm burnt out from that and I need it to be entertaining.
Yeah. They have a really good, I would say, mix of that. I also love Armchair Expert. I mean, I love the Skinny Confidential as well. Yeah. But sometimes I don't want to be as motivated. I want more entertainment, like just funny. I want to laugh. Also a good laugh, like that refuels me. Mm-hmm. What else? Eating good. It like, I found as soon as I came back to LA and I was starting to like order a lot of sweet green, and I sound like such an LA bitch right now. But like, I'm not kidding you. My head was more clear.
Well, that's like science.
It is science. Yeah, also, daylight, like sunny daylight. I don't know.
A clean house. That's my number one thing. I'm one of those people that cannot. I can't function because I haven't. Like, it just makes my anxiety worse. Mm. I have to have my house clean.
Also, I'm not kidding you. This is like really corny, but like sometimes I like will play. Now that I live alone, I did this when Peyton wouldn't be there because she like I'm already psycho enough for Peyton. But she I'll like blare music and I will literally dance by myself.
I do that too, actually. It helps a lot, especially before recording.
It's something about like, I'm not kidding you, the Grey's Anatomy, like Dance It Out, like it helps. Yeah. Like moving your body and just like I'll like be in my own
world.
That's
so like Danielle. Her mom does that too. Like Danny does that.
No, I have to.
It's helpful.
It is. And it like, it's just having fun. Like I think so much of our work life can get so serious and it's like, what's the point? Like I want to have fun and I'm addicted to fun.
And you can have fun throughout, and I'm trying to be better about that.
What do you mean? Like, have fun throughout, like
sometimes
serious
I'll just be so focused on what I have to do that I'm not like enjoying it in the way that I should be.
I hate when I do that.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to be better about that. Like you have to really be intentional though.
The root of that though is, for me at least, is gratitude. Like going back to my journal and being like, I am thankful to be in the position I am because I dead ass am. Like, and I forget, which is, it's inevitable. Like this is my new normal. But like a year ago, I would have died knowing that like I could reach out to my manager to reach out to my dream brand. Like I dead ass would have died like knowing that I had that contact or whatever the situation is for you. But I agree. Like I think that having gratitude makes things more fun. Like, oh my gosh, I get to go to the Pretty Basic set and like tell them what pop culture drama to talk about. Like, that's crazy. That's my job. But sometimes I forget that that's fun.
Because
you're just in your routine.
Yes, exactly. And it just becomes your normal and then you're not.
Yeah. So I think going to my journal really helps me in like having gratitude, like writing I'm thankful for. I'll do a whole page of I'm thankful for blah, blah, blah. I'm thankful for this.
I did that this morning.
I'm grateful for this. Because sometimes you're in a rut and it helps you. Yeah. It does rewire your brain.
Going back to like how I execute things too, I'm thinking a lot of that is actually rooted in anxiety because I've always been like, I have to do it. But then I have also been lucky enough to surround myself with people who have done like stuff. And yeah. So I see that. Also, I think a lot of it is growing up in Texas, people just work and work ethic there is very different. Like here, people work really hard or they don't work at all. Like,
oh my God, that's there, so true. If
there's a difference in work ethics and that they're either working their ass off or they're not really doing anything.
So true.
And in Texas, consistently, everyone just does what they say. And so I think now that my brain is turned on more, I think it's rooted in anxiety. It's also that I've surrounded myself with people who I see do cool things.
Uh-huh.
My dad has instilled confidence in me. My dad thinks I could literally be president.
Aww, and like I love that.
But because of that, I grew up thinking I really could do anything.
Uh-huh.
So it's like this naive mindset that I try to go back to like my 17-year-old self when mm-hmm. I was like, I can do anything. And then like also a lot of it is gratitude and seeing people around me do things. Like uh-huh. to give you guys more practical tips as I'm thinking about this has really helped. And if you don't have a parent that has like instilled that confidence in you, like you can build it yourself and you can find it. It doesn't have to be external. And then it's just about who you surround yourself with. Even it's not even like my friends at home all have more traditional jobs. It's not that I'm like, oh, they're doing exactly what I want to be doing, but they're like, they all have very strong work ethics anyways.
Uh-huh.
So it's really helpful. I think uh-huh. a lot of it is who you surround yourself with and your environment.
Totally is who you surround yourself with. But I will say, this is the last thing I'll mm-hmm. say and then we'll wrap up, is that one of my favorite things about you is
I love this podcast, by the
no,
way.
No, is I'm dead ass. Like mm-hmm. Kenzie even came to me when you were talking about maybe doing this clothing brand thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, honestly, not a good idea. It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I work with a clothing brand. Like it's hard. I was just like mm-hmm. very real. I was like, it is brutal. Like it's more hard than it is almost rewarding at the point that yeah. I'm in right now. Right. But I love that you still just are going for it.
Well, and I also talked to people who are doing it in the way that I'm doing it, and they said the same thing, but it's a like parallel is totally different than what we wanted to do. So it did give me better insight to like what I would be doing yeah. and made me feel better.
But I will say, like, I was like, I almost was like, I would wait
mm-hmm.
a little. That was my take on it. And she still, and I know like we really value and trust each yeah. other's opinion, and she still is like killing it, doing your thing, like starting or whatever. And still going for it. And what all of that to say is, even though you trust and I know you value my opinion as well as others that, you know, lead you into whatever
mm-hmm.
areas of life, I know that I love that you at the end of the day have to be and are your biggest cheerleader. And if you don't believe in it, no one else will. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because there's been times where my parents have told me, like, I don't think that's a good idea. And I still did it. And it actually was a great idea. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you have to, even though, like, people are going to be your cheerleaders on the, like, people you surround yourself with are going to encourage you and lift you up and whatever. But they're also sometimes going to, like, maybe pull you back. And you know in your heart, like, you have to be your biggest cheerleader because no one else will be, even your closest friends. Even your closest mentors, even yep. your parents.
You also have to get good at trusting your gut.
Yeah.
And even with my podcast, the people around me at the time when I started told me not to do it so many times.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing I've done career-wise.
Yes.
It's the most growth. And my network of people is in, like, literally the richest woman in the world because of that
yeah.
podcast. Like, most successful. Like, in every way, it's made my life so much better. But it's trusting your gut.
Uh-huh.
And that, it's like, part
your
of me
instincts.
Is like, it gets easier, but it doesn't. But also, I'm like, once you, now I know in the ways that I haven't trusted my gut, I've always regretted it. And so now I feel like for me at least, the more I do it and the more I'm like, all right, I know that this is the next move, it makes it a little bit easier because I have like almost like proof is in the pudding. Like I've like looked back and I'm like, well, that was a good move. I'm glad that I like trusted myself then.
Uh-huh.
And that also goes to like getting to know yourself, doing small exercises, like what refuels
yes.
me. Therapy, reading is like my biggest thing. Like, I think a lot of it is like getting to know yourself and then trusting your gut and then also like moving on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time you build more trust and confidence within yourself and then you're able to do like the next move that's bigger.
Yeah. But yeah. at the end of the day, you can have the best piece of advice from anyone and like no one's going to believe in your
yes.
self or your personal project or your business that you start more than you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our end of the pod. Kenzie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And where can everyone follow you, pimp yourself out, do your thing?
Kenzie Elizabeth on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Kenzie Elizabeth Hay on TikTok. I'm a big TikToker these days. Oh, I have been all over it. It's so much fun.
I love TikTok.
And then we're recording an episode for my podcast, which is the I Love You So Much podcast with Kenzie Elizabeth.
So go check it out and be sure to rate, review, do all the things, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, Making Moves Pod. Follow us on Instagram, Making Moves Pod _. And be sure to, I don't know, do all the things.
Yeah,
follow Kenzie and
to
subscribe.
Your channel.
Yeah, subscribe to my YouTube channel. And we will see you guys next week. Be sure to make someone's day. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.